podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Well, as we've been talking about hearing the Word, we have seen that the wise listener is the one who not only hears the Word of God, but puts the words of God into practice and does them, and that wise listener has a firm foundation for their life. And when the storms of life and the difficulties and the troubles of life begin to blow and the floods come up, that they are able to withstand even the strongest of those storms because they have a foundation in hearing the Word and then obeying the Word. In addition to that, we've also seen that the seed of the Word of God falls onto the lives of everyone. There is not one person who is exempt from the falling of that seed of the Word of God into their life, but it is only those who receive it and allow it to change them that bear fruit for God. It is only those that, upon whom the seed falls and they believe it and it changes their life as they put their faith in Jesus Christ and then begin to walk with Him. It's only them that then have the fruit that God has promised growing from their lives. And this morning we're going to see that responding properly to the hearing of the Word of God is extremely important. In fact, eternity depends on it. Eternity depends on how you hear and whether you believe. So follow along as I read John chapter 5, verses 29 to 30. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 5 and follow along as I read verses 29 to 30. That's page 754 in your pew Bible. These are the words of our Savior. He says, "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And as he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Heavenly Father, help us to hear your word, to understand your word this morning. Father, to apply it to our lives. I pray, Father, that as we hear what Jesus said, Father, that we would genuinely believe, because in that belief there is life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first thing we look at in this passage is the identity of Jesus. Who is Jesus saying that he is? And if you look with me at verse 26 of chapter 5 that we just read, you see that Jesus makes this claim. He says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." So the Father is the giver of life, the creator of life, the one who's in charge of life. And he has given the power of life to Jesus. You know, Jesus said something very similar later on in his ministry. According to John 14:6, Jesus said these words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's some mystery here between this relationship between the Father and the Son. We don't fully understand exactly how the Trinity works, that there are three members, but they are one in the same. But the Father has given to the Son the power over life. And so Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to come to the Father, you have to come through me. I am the gatekeeper of life." This is the teaching of Jesus. All the way at the beginning of the book of John, John himself taught in chapter 1, verse 4, that in him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. That Jesus, when he came into this world, brought life with him, and he himself was life. And in case you think that this was just something that Jesus taught and that John caught on to and put in his gospel. We also see it later on when John wrote in 1 John to a different audience. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, he's talking about Jesus, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. He's talking about Jesus. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So Jesus and the life are two terms that are used interchangeably by John. He says Jesus is eternal life. And when Jesus came into this world, eternal life came into this world. That is the teaching of Scripture. Now you may think that you already have life, right? That your mother and father were the ones who gave you life. You were born in the natural way and you came into this world and your mother and your father gave you life, and maybe in a moment of anger or rage, your mother said to you, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Have you ever heard those words before? And you believe that, right? Yeah, I have life because of my mother and my father. And I'm here as a mixture of their DNA and their family before them, all of it just kind of mixed together, and somehow I appeared in this world and I have been given life, and now I'm here and I'm breathing. And everybody check your pulse, just make sure you're living, right? Okay, hopefully everyone's okay. That you have life today. But what the Word of God tells us is that Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the giver of life. According to Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of life. It says about Jesus, by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. But if you're seated here and you consider yourself to be a thing, you know, not Miss Thing or whatever, but you are a thing, you are a person who has been created. The truth of the matter is that you were created for him, by him, and he holds you together. That everything that's taking place on planet Earth, all of this life was created by him, for him, and he holds it all together. Jesus is the life. He is the life. And that is the identity of Jesus, as he says here in verse 26 of the passage we just read in John chapter 5. As we get older, we begin to realize something, however, that this life that we have in this world has a shelf life. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's the creaking of the joints. Maybe it's the pain getting out of bed in the morning. Maybe it's the fact that there are people your age that have passed away, and you were there for their funeral and you read about them in obituaries in the paper, and you knew them personally, and now they're gone, and you realize that your life has a shelf life, that there is an expiration date on your life. And we all begin to realize that that's true, that the life we have right now is not guaranteed to us forever, because we're sinners, because we have to face the consequences of death because of our sin. Well, Jesus has something to say about this in this passage too, because he is the life. But in addition to being the life, he also says in verse 27, continuing, he has given him, talking about himself, God has given Jesus authority to judge because he's the Son of Man. So in addition to being the life, the Father has given Jesus the authority to judge because Jesus is the Son of Man. Now, when we hear those words, we might say, well, what's the big deal about him being the Son of Man? How does that give him any authority to be a judge? I'm a son of man, too. You're a son of man or daughter of man. How does that make you able to judge? Because what he's saying here is he's the judge with a capital J. At the end of time, everyone who has ever lived will come before Jesus Christ, and he will be the final and the ultimate judge. Well, how does being the Son of Man give him that right? Well, actually, Jesus was probably referring to something that the Jews would have known about all the way back in the book of Daniel. The prophet Daniel said, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into His presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This Son of Man figure that was talked about in Daniel, Jesus is saying, I am the Son of Man. And because of that, Jesus says, I am the judge of all. And so don't be surprised when you come to the end of your life and we come to judgment day when each one of us will stand before the judge. And that judge is going to be Jesus Christ seated upon that throne. And depending upon who you are and the decisions you've made in life and your relationship to Jesus, you're either going to be very comfortable with the fact that Jesus is your judge, or you're going to be extremely uncomfortable with that fact. It all depends on who you are and what you have believed. He is the judge. So I think you get the picture. Jesus is both the giver of life, and He is the judge of all mankind, and He holds an extremely vital position over each and every one of us. So let's look at what Jesus requires of us. What is His requirement? If He is the life and He is the judge, if He's holding all things together and at the end He's going to be the one seated at that judging bench, what does He require of us? Let's make sure that we get it right before Jesus. Well, whenever someone holds a position of authority over us, it makes good sense for us to find out what their expectations are. Isn't that true? That is why professors hand out a syllabus at the beginning of the semester in college. They let you know, here's what I expect if you're going to pass this class. That's why bosses give you a job description before you begin your work, hopefully, so that you'll know what you're supposed to be doing. So that you can look back on it, refer from time to time and say, well, am I living up to the expectations and the requirements for my job? And this is why your wife tells you on Saturday morning what needs to be completed by the time the sun goes down on Saturday night. Because you need to know the requirements before the day goes on. So you get that stuff out of the way so you can do all the other stuff that you wanted to do on that Saturday. You don't want to get caught sitting in front of the Duke North Carolina game not having done what you were supposed to have done because it's not going to be comfortable for you. You need to know the requirements and you need to do what is required of you. Well, let's look at this passage for the requirements of this life-giving judge of all mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 24 again. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. You see, there are two requirements in that passage of Scripture, to hear his word and to believe in God. First requirement, hear his word, to hear his word. And again, the word for hear in this context is much more than just sound waves bouncing through your ear canal and off of your eardrum. See, even an animal can hear things that way. But the essence of hearing is that it sinks into your life and into your heart and your soul and you understand it and you meditate on it and you consider it and you know what it means and you have the ability to make a decision based on what you've heard. So you have heard the word of God. That's the first requirement. But then the second requirement upon hearing the word of God is that you believe in God, to put your faith in God. But you're not just trusting God with something small. You're trusting God with something very big. You're trusting Him with eternity, your entire life. You know, you make small statements of faith every day that you live. Whether you realize you're doing it or not, you do. When you go through the drive-thru in the morning to get a cup of coffee, and you pay for it and you drive off, and you just take that coffee and you hold it up to your lips and you take a big sip, you're making a statement of faith in that moment. The statement of faith is, I trust everything that's gone on inside of that establishment where the coffee was made, that this is going to be good, that it's going to not have anything harmful in it, that nobody's angry at me in there and decided to spit in it, that they've cleaned the equipment, you know, once every 2 years or so to make sure that there's no bacteria in there. You're taking a risk. You know that? You're making a statement of faith. Just driving away from the drive-thru. We're entrusting ourselves to those bleary-eyed workers back there who are making minimum wage and saying, wow, this is going to be good. Whether it is or not is another thing. We make decision of trust whenever we go through the drive-through of the bank, too, and we put in our check, and our check gets sucked through that thing, and then they send a little piece of paper back to you, right? And you look at that little piece of paper, and you've just made a statement of faith. You've said to yourself, they now have my money in there somewhere, and they're taking care of it, right? It's backed by the government. It's got to be good, right? It's the FDIC. It's banked by the government. If it's backed by the government, then it must be good. So we take little steps of faith every day. Well, Jesus speaks. We hear his voice, his word. And then, on the basis of what we've heard, we believe in God. That's the requirement of Jesus. Now understand the timing of this decree that Jesus made. Jesus was speaking to a group of people who were upset with him because he had just healed a man on the Sabbath. As you listen to this passage of Scripture in context, this is how it went down. A man who had been paralyzed for like 38 years of his life was hanging out by the pool of Bethesda, which is by the sheep gate in Jerusalem. And as he's sitting there by that pool, he's believing in this legend that he's heard, that from time to time the angels will come and they'll stir up the water. And at that moment, if you're the first one in the pool, you'll be healed. And so here he lies on his mat, paralyzed by the pool, ready to roll in or fall in or be carried in at the moment the angel stirs up the water. But he's frustrated because he said, every time I can't get there. There's nobody here to help me. Somebody's always going to beat me to it. I can't get in. And so Jesus walks by and sees this man and has a conversation with this man. And eventually he says to this man, look at John chapter 5, verse 8. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. This happened on the Sabbath, so there were some people who were upset saying, hey, that's working on the Sabbath, Jesus. He told that man to get up and walk, and he's carrying his mat. I mean, that's even worse. You encourage him to work on the Sabbath. The truth of the matter is that this was a man who heard the voice of Jesus and believed. He stood up, grabbed his mat, and he walked away. He heard and he believed. This is exactly what Jesus is saying we need to do in order to gain life. Jesus is saying that all can be healed of sin that leads to death by hearing his voice and believing in God. And we know that the reason that Jesus can make this offer is because there was a plan in place that Jesus eventually, by the end of the book of John, by the end of the book of Luke, by the end of the book of Mark, by the end of the book of Matthew, was going to go to the cross. And he was going to give his life there and sacrifice himself. He was going to take on the sins of the entire world on himself. And he was going to pay the penalty there on that cross and die. And so then our sin on him was paid for. We understand that that's the only way that Jesus could make that statement. If you hear me and believe, you will have eternal life. Those are the only requirements, to hear and to believe. Now think about all of the heavy burdens that we place on people. You know, if you want to be a good Christian, you got to wear the right clothes, you got to say the right words, you got to act like we do, you got to fit in with the Christian crowd, you know, you got to speak Christianese, Christian language, you got to have the right bumper stickers on your car, the right messages on your t-shirts, you know, you have to listen to the right music. You have to walk the aisle. You have to join this church or that church. You have to read this version of the Bible or that version of the Bible, etc., etc., etc. We give all of these requirements. The only requirement that Jesus makes here is, well, hear my word and believe. Hear my word and believe. Now understand that to believe is much more than just saying, yeah, I believe it could be true. Yeah, it might be true. But it's an actual step of faith where you say, I put my entire life on this. I believe that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So I trust in Him alone for salvation. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not trusting in any other gods. I don't have any idols hidden in my closet that I think might get me to heaven. So I'm hedging my bets by having a few of these gods around. I put my entire self with God through Jesus Christ. And that is the requirement to believe, to hear and to believe. So Jesus is the author and the sustainer of all life, and He is the final judge of all mankind. What will He do for the one who hears and believes? What is the offer of Jesus? Well, looking back at this passage, verse 24, we read, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live." Notice that Jesus is using the present tense. He says, if you hear and believe, you will have, you have eternal life. The one who has heard and has believed has eternal life. There's a time coming and a time that now is where the dead will hear the voice of Jesus and they will believe and they will go from death to life. The offer of Jesus is life now, eternal life now. It's not something you have to wait for. At the beginning of the text, He was talking to the people of His day, and He was saying, this is available to you now. If you believe in Him, you can have life now. Jesus offers eternal life right now to all those who will hear and who will believe. That will be taken care of. That's not something that you need to worry about. You say, well, how is my life eternal now if I put my faith in Jesus Christ? You know, you have the guarantee of that eternal life, that you will live for all eternity. But not just that you will live for all eternity, because we're going to see later that all are going to live for all eternity, but the condition of that life, the life that only Jesus can give, a life that is forgiven. So the second offer of Jesus is not just that you can have the life now, but you don't have to wait till you die to be risen from the dead. But you, in a spiritual sense, are risen from the dead now. John chapter 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Hear and believe, and you have eternal life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It's already been done for those who hear and believe. You already have eternal life. It's already yours. You're already dead and raised. Your sins have been taken away from you and you've gone from spiritual death to spiritual life. You're now seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Spiritually speaking, the transaction has been done. You already have been raised. You already have life. But not just that, but Jesus also offers acquittal. What we mean by that is, in verse 24 it says, not only will the person who believes upon hearing, not only will he have life, but also verse 24 says he will not be condemned. He will not be condemned. You know, you and I deserve condemnation. When the end of time comes and we stand before the judge, what we deserve because of our sin is to be placed in a place of destruction, to pay for our sins for all eternity. We deserve to be found guilty and then to be placed in hell for all eternity, forever, because of our sin. God created us to worship Him, to serve Him, to love Him, to be His people. And we have chosen by our sin to worship ourselves, to love ourselves, to live for ourselves, to do our own thing, to serve our own interests. So we deserve the penalty for those sins. But Jesus, who is the giver of life and the final judge of all mankind, says that all who hear and believe will not be condemned. If you hear and believe, there is no condemnation. Paul elaborates on that in Romans chapter 8. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to pay the penalty. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. What He says is, if you are the person who has heard and who has believed, there is no condemnation for you. You have been acquitted of your guilt because Jesus has taken your guilt upon Himself, has died on the cross for you, and you have received that for yourself. Now, what sounds kind of confusing is actually quite simple. We broke the law. We deserve to pay the penalty, right? When you break the law, you deserve to pay the penalty. But Jesus stepped up and took our place, took our sin upon Himself, and was punished there on the cross. That all who believe in Him, there is no condemnation, but we're acquitted of that sin. Not guilty, based on what Jesus did for us there. In other words, you did the crime, and He did the time. Another way of saying it. You did the crime, but He did the time. And all we must do is to hear and to believe. To hear and to believe. And if we will, the offer is not only for here and now. The offer is forever. Because He offers eternal life, future life. Verse 28, Jesus says, there's coming a day. Do not be amazed at this, for time's coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. That sounds pretty scary to me, when that day happens, okay? When the voice of Jesus calls out and the graves are emptied, that the people arise from the grave. Now, what happens once they're arisen? You know, we've seen all the Night of the Living Dead movies and all of that stuff, and, you know, the zombies walking around. So this sounds scary. And in fact, when Jesus was on the cross and He died there, and we're told that there were some who came out of their graves and walked around, and, you know, there's some scary stuff there. Well, what happens at the end of time when Jesus' voice is heard and when all the graves are emptied? It says that at that time, when they come out, verse 29, those who have done good will rise to live eternal life. And those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Jesus says, by myself I can do nothing. The authority I have, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. He's the perfect judge. He's not going to make any mistakes. There's not going to be anybody who's going to slip in, you know, by some sort of a loophole or clause. Or you're not going to be able to hire a lawyer because that lawyer is going to be paying for his own sins, maybe more than your sins. But you get the point. Each and every one of us is going to appear before the judge. And there is coming a day when all will hear the voice of Jesus. All will be raised and all will be judged. And how that occurs is a great mystery. You know, how that occurs is a great mystery. In what order these things happen at the end of time, I mean, you can work these things out, but just believe what Jesus says at face value. All will be raised, and all will appear before God, and all will be given a judgment. Now, what will His verdict be? What will His verdict be? Those who have done evil will be condemned. Those who have done good will rise to live. I think sometimes we get hung up on the done good part in this passage of Scripture. You know, some have read into this verse that you have to be a good person, you have to earn heaven, you have to be good. But the Scripture does not teach that at all. You look through the Scripture, and what we have here, Jesus saying, the ones who hear His voice and believe and do good by hearing His voice and believing, and those who have a relationship with Him, and as a result of that relationship with Him, remember last week, produce fruit. Those who have that type of a relationship with God, where they have heard His voice, where they have believed, where they are now alive in Him, and where they are producing fruit for Him and doing good, those are the ones who at the end of time will stand before the judge, and the judge will unlock the gate and say, you are free to live for all eternity in the presence of God. But those who have heard the Word of God, the seed has landed in their life, and they've not listened, they've refused to believe, They understood the message, but they refused to believe. They understand that there's a God who loves them, a God who desires them to follow Him and to live their lives for Him, but they refuse to believe. Those will be condemned. And that is the teaching of the Word of God. It's not my teaching this morning. I think you and I might have a little bit more of a different teaching. You know, we might say, well, anybody at the end of time who comes up and God says, all right, there's going to be a quiz here. Who did you believe in during the time when you were alive? And at that point, you'll have the opportunity to say, you know, well, I believed in myself. And he'll say, are you sure? Are you sure? You know, who did you really believe in? And you'll say, well, I know I believed in Buddha. I believed in Buddha. And he'll say, no. I'll give you another chance. Starts with a J. Ends with an S-U-S. What do you say? I think we might do it that way. But God's requirement is different than our requirement. God's requirement is this. He says, those who, while living, hear the Word of God and believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, at the end of time will stand before the judge acquitted, not guilty, without condemnation, and will live for all eternity. But those who hear the Word of God, reject the Word of God. Those who live their lives for themselves in sin, all of their lives, and don't make that decision, will stand before the judge in their own sin, and they will receive the penalty that they deserve for that sin. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between eternal life and eternal death. So if there's anything that you get right in life, if there is anything that you get right in your life, make sure it's this. You can have eternal life now. Now. If you will hear the words of Jesus Christ and trust in Him, believe in Him. As we come to the table in a few moments, we're going to remember that Jesus died on the cross and His body was broken and His blood was poured out to pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. Jesus offers us eternal life now. Will you hear His voice and believe? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You for the truth of Your Word. All of us know by experience that we are sinners. All of us know that we have done things our own way, that we have wandered away from You. We know that to be true. Not all of us have confessed that, though. Lord, today I pray that You'd help us to come face to face with our sin and confess that we need a Savior and to recognize who that Savior is. It's Jesus, the one who died for our sins and then rose again from the dead. The one who is the author and the sustainer of all life. The only one who offers eternal life for those who hear and believe. Father, I pray that if there's one, two, or more who are gathered here this morning, who have heard Your voice and who have decided today to believe and receive eternal life now, Lord, will You tug at their heart? I pray that Your Spirit will work within them, that they will make that decision today, to hear Your voice and to live for all eternity, believing on Your Son, Jesus Christ. While you're seated there with your heads bowed, I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning. There's someone here who has not put their faith in Jesus Christ. Here's all I'm asking you to do. First of all, confess that you are a sinner. Second of all, recognize that there's not a thing you can do about your sin in order to have eternal life. Third thing is hear the voice of Jesus today. You've heard it through His Word. And then believe. Believe that Jesus died on the cross in your place and took your sin away. And trust in Him alone for your salvation from sin. If this morning you want to make that decision, that you want to trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, and today is the day that you have heard and that you have believed, will you raise your hand where I can see it? No one's looking around. Just raise your hand where I can see it this morning to say, today is the day that I hear and believe in Jesus Christ. I see your hand. Thank you. anyone else, today is the day that I hear and I believe and I want eternal life now from Jesus. Anyone else? Just a moment. Amen. Amen. We come to the table now, an opportunity for us to remember Jesus and what He did for us. What He did for us. How He gave His life for us so that we who are sinners could live eternally. First, we're going to listen to the choir as they lead us in worship as we prepare our hearts to come to the table.